This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump are pressing for his Justice Department to pay roughly $230 million as a settlement for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and during his first term in office. That, according to sources familiar with the matter. ABC's Catherine Falders has more.
We don't know if he's picking up the phone every day and calling Pam Bondi, the attorney general, and saying, get this done. But the reality is the people who would make these decisions and sign off on it are the people who represented him in the investigations that he is seeking settlement money over.
Plans are off for President Trump to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Hungary or the immediate future. The White House says Secretary of State Marco Rubio held a call earlier with Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, calling it productive. ABC News has learned Lavrov made it clear Russia opposed President Trump's suggestion to freeze the fighting in Ukraine on the front line. The government shutdown dragging into a fourth week. The Senate will take up another vote again tomorrow, aiming to end the shutdown. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has sent a letter to the Capital Times demanding a public correction of recent reporting on the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's handling of educator misconduct investigations. The letter outlines how the reporting misrepresents the DPI's work, omits critical legal and procedural context, and ultimately undermines public trust in the systems designed to protect Wisconsin students. Dr. Underley stated, "Student safety is the foundation of everything that we do in education. Every allegation of educator misconduct is treated with the highest level of seriousness and is thoroughly investigated by the Department of Public Instruction. Any suggestion that the DPI withholds information from the public is categorically false. Records are released in accordance with open record laws, and educator license statuses are publicly available to anyone on the DPI's website." A bridge built in the 1930s to get across the Mississippi River is now closed for demolition. Jimmy Koska reports.
The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa south of La Crosse is now closed. The Blackhawk Bridge, also known as the Lansing Bridge, is in the process of being replaced. The bridge was built 94 years ago and has been closed twice in the past 2 years for structural issues. Construction on its replacement began 2 years ago and is scheduled to open in 2027. In the meantime, the DOT will be providing free car ferries to cross the Mississippi River, while heavier truck traffic will need to use the posted detour through Prairie du Chien a half hour to the south.
You can find more details about the project on both the Wisconsin and Iowa DOT websites.
The future for Luke Fickell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks Saturday night in Eugene. The Badgers are 2-5, losing 5 games in a row. Luke Fickell was asked if he knows yet if he'll be back next year at Wisconsin.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't you don't think about.
Chris McIntosh, the Badgers athletic director, releasing a statement saying Wisconsin remains supporting Fickell in his role as the head football coach. NFL. The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie on what he was most proud of in their win over Arizona.
You know, that's what we've been talking about since the start of the season. You know, just finishing throughout the entire week. That's what we emphasized, and, you know, we got the opt to finish, and we did it.
That's linebacker Isaiah McDuffie with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible, and still breezy, a high in the upper 40s. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, a high in the low 50s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito, the Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. The teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations.
Judge says that overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly.
What if this were 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Kennedy Jr. says America is under-babied. What can we do to encourage more Americans to become parents? Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Another crazy fall night here. Overcast, blustery, as they used to say in Winnie the Pooh, if I can quote Winnie the Pooh. But a beautiful fall night here in northeast Wisconsin. Hope it is gorgeous where you are, too. I'm sure it is because we're in Wisconsin. This is a weekend-like state of mind we have all week here in our beautiful state. So hope you're having a great day. Welcome to Nightlight. Great show tonight. Really fun guests. Conrad is here. Conrad, are you here?
I am here.
I thought so.
How's your M doing?
It's still not. It's better, which means it's a little better, which means it was probably a piece of food, a crumb that keeps getting crushed a little more.
Some gelato.
Every time I hit the M key. So it's better. It's functional. I'm not going to go out and buy a new computer, but if this persists, I'll have to take it to my pal Paul, who takes care of all my computer needs. And I usually just like throw him a gift card. What do you do when a friend helps you out?
I have a friend that's helped me out with computers all the time, you know, like he built my PC for me.
I don't even know how to talk to people like that.
I don't
they can
either.
Build a computer. That's insanity.
I have no idea. And then when he's like trying to help me fix it over the phone, he's like, oh, do this and do this. I'm like, I don't understand what any of that means.
What's a space bar? but it's a little better. Thank you for asking. On behalf of my letter M. Well, yes. I can't even type anymore. It used to be I can't write because those muscles are gone because I type. So when I write, my penmanship looks like I'm in second grade. But now I can't even type anymore because I will use voice any chance I get. It's the epitome of laziness. It's just me clicking twice on function and going in the Hollywood Beats, blah, blah, blah. And it never translates perfectly. I always have to go back and change things, but I would rather do that than sit there and type. And I'm a writer. I've been typing for the last 25 years. I just can't do it anymore.
My favorite thing is when you voice text me, you know, and you say the line like twice that you meant to say, because you don't know if it said it, and then it comes in twice.
I'll do that, and then I'll try to fire off a voice text in here during a commercial, like to a potential guest or something, and half of the message from the commercial that's playing will play during the voice. So it'll be like, hey, Rob, can you be on the Now at a Chevy Dealers? We have 20% off. Like, just, it makes no sense. So, but all is good. Tonight is a fun show, folks. You're here on a great night. My pal Jimmy Pardo is here at 6:35. Jimmy and I started a little bit before me in stand-up, but back in the extremely late 1980s, we both started doing stand-up, became fast friends, and he is one of my oldest friends in the biz, and just a great guy. He'll be here at 6:35. He is the host of the Never Not Funny podcast. Very few times, ladies and gentlemen, that a double negative is so effective, but it is when it comes to Jimmy's podcast. It's very funny. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. And Jimmy is also a hilarious stand-up comedian. Have you ever seen Jimmy stand-up?
I haven't.
Very, like, stream of consciousness, off the cuff, really funny stuff. He's like a comics comic, just a hilarious guy. He'll be here at 6:35. Great fun. And then at 7:35, Rex Sykes, the co-founder of the million, I have to pull this up. I always get this confused. I think of the Million Man March, but this is Mission 1 Billion. This is a group Rex co-founded. It's a huge networking organization that meets once a week in Milwaukee, and they're having a big event tomorrow. And TV executive Rocky Wagenhurst will be speaking there tomorrow. So both guys are going to be on the show tonight. So that'll be good fun. Rocky's had a very interesting career, as has Rex. So they will both be along at 7:35 to tell us about this fun event. If you are in the business or want to make a movie or get involved in TV, this sounds like the event for you and the organization for you, as you will probably go there and meet people that could be instrumental and build a little network for yourself. It looks like a really fun event. So we'll learn more at 7:35. Got a fun question tonight. Did you watch any baseball last night?
I did watch a little bit. You know, I watched football because, I mean, the Brewers are out, so I'm like,
yeah,
still a little sad.
Yeah.
So hurting, or, you know, watching baseball hurts a little bit.
Sure. I get it.
But that was a crazy win that the Blue Jays had.
I watched, you know, I'm all about the YouTube highlights lately, and I watched that today while I was eating lunch, and man, those Toronto fans are electric.
Yeah. That home run when he hit that.
Oh. It reminds me, one of my favorite sports moments involves the Toronto Blue Jays, and it was when Joe Carter, I think it was in the early or mid-90s, hit a home run. I think it was to win the World Series, and his face, like, if fireworks could be a face, it was Joe Carter. He hit this home run, and he's just doing this and running around the bases. It was a great sports moment. So I think, I told you yesterday, I went to a lot of Dodger games when I lived in L.A. Took my son. His first favorite team was the Dodgers, and I was going for the Brewers. I thought I'll root for the Dodgers in the World Series, but I think I'm going for the Blue Jays. The city is just a great city, and I love LA too, but like the city of Toronto, great fans, you know, and a fun team to watch too. Probably spent a lot more or a lot less than the Dodgers too.
I think they're like fourth in payroll or something.
Are they really?
I mean, they're still pretty high up there.
Wow. Okay. Well, it should be a good series at the very least, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Bruce Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere opens this weekend. Finally, I've been reading stuff about this for a year, talking a little bit about it on this show. So I'm excited to see the film, and I think Jeremy Allen White will be a good boss. He looks the part, certainly in the trailers I've seen. I'll do a Hollywood beat that we'll record tomorrow, probably start playing on Thursday to talk about upcoming movies like I do every week here. And that will definitely be one of them. So I'm excited to see what the critics have to say, and I'm excited to see the film. That should be fun. Lots of stuff going on. I think I sent you that clip.
Yep.
I love it. You know, I used to not like it when people in Saturday Night Live would break and start laughing. But the Heidi Gardner thing with Beavis and Butthead.
It's a classic.
It's unbelievable. One of the greatest moments in Saturday Night Live ever. But I hated, like, when Jimmy Fallon was on the show, the sketch would start, and within 20 seconds, he'd just be cracking up. I'm like, why is he on the show? Put him in the studio audience. If he thinks it's so funny, it just, when it happens all the time, it's not. But these guys, Fred Armiston and who was the other guy? Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, yeah.
So funny. As these two guys doing this, they're like doing this like accent. I don't even know what kind of accent it is. But they're telling a story to this kid about Santa Claus. And Armiston starts out talking about Santa Claus, or talking about a snowman. And how he doesn't have legs, he has a snowball. And the kid is hilarious. I know that's a visual thing. You can't see the kid, but he's hilarious. But Armiston is telling this story in this crazy accent. And Hader breaks, and then Jamie Foxx is in it, and he's just trying not to laughing at these guys. So I think this is worth playing on the radio alone enough, just for the audio comedy in it. Here's a clip I found today that's kind of old. I just found it today, though, from Saturday Night Live.
Sally, come here. Do you know the story of Rodolfo Reindeer?
Yes, we know it very well.
His nose was like no other deer. Yeah, it was electric. They light up. Like a big red cigarette.
Right.
Yeah, and Santa Claus said, I'm having trouble looking at to see her driving the sleigh at nighttime. So he said, Rodolfo, there is something special about you. And Rodolfo said, who, me? He goes, yeah, I'm talking to you. And Rodolfo said, no, I'm like the other deer. He goes, no, you're not. They don't have a regular nose. They're black. They're just there for a smell.
He knows. Could you get us a cab?
I'll get it, but first listen to this story about Santa Claus. He's going to blow your mind. Okay, so Santa Claus, he says, I'm going to put Rodolfo in the... in the front, not in the back. the light was just lighting up. So Santa Claus was using his brain. You like that story?
Oh my gosh, there's our cab. Thanks, Alexi.
Christmas!
Okay, make it fast.
Once a bunch of children got together and they said, hey, from the snow, let's make a person. So they made this. They make this person, and for his legs, they make a big ball of snow. And for his belly, they make a smaller ball.
You see, and some snowmen are made of two balls. Yeah. And then this one is made of three balls. Frosty, three balls.
Yeah. Anyway, the kids, they take...
I just love hearing people lose it. And Fred Armisen obviously was doing some type of a Hispanic accent, but what was Bill Hader was like, it was like half Dutch, half, that was so bizarre, but it cracked me up. I love people breaking up. All right. I think it's time we get to our nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay. I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
It is National Back to the Future Day. What era would you like to travel back to? National Back to the Future Day, great movie. What era would you like to travel back to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Drop us a text. Over the app is really easy, folks. Nightlight is on in many markets. Whatever station you're listening to, statewide, just click on the little text button and you're all set. Almost as easy as the phone. And then if you're watching the radio on the stream, you can drop us a stream comment. If you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or X. I'm getting used to calling it X, Con.
I still call it Twitter anytime.
I do casually, but it's just like, is it a battle I want to fight? I hate it either way. But I don't know.
Just like I'll never call it AmFam, you know?
What do you call it?
Miller Park.
Yeah, Miller Park is a good one. What happened there? Miller just said, no, sorry,
yeah,
it's
I
not
think,
for us anymore.
You know, I think there was some numbers that yeah. were like, I don't agree with that.
It's too much? Okay. County Stadium. Those days are long gone.
Yeah.
Soldier Field, County Stadium, local ballpark. Like, there's just too many. There's too much money to be made. It's too bad because those are Veterans Park, you know, all those great stadiums. But let us know, folks, what era would you like to travel back to? I'm going to say the 1940s, right after World War II, gin joints popping up, jazz music. And that's when the Beats started, like Kerouac started writing about taking his pension from the military and just traveling America to see what people were up to. Doing things very unconventionally. But even those that did things conventionally could still go to see jazz. And I don't know, it seemed like a great time in America. I'm romanticizing it, of course. Every era had their problems. I almost said the 50s, but I think I'd go back to like the mid to late 40s. What about you, Ken?
I said the medieval times because I think I can make a good knight.
Think so, huh?
Or a jester.
You'd have great hair, according to Eric Ratzak.
Probably, you know, yeah, live a short life, you know, but
I hate the medieval times on every level. I hate going to the hotel in Vegas. I hate the 7-course meal where you go and they come in, they call everybody ye and do that kind of stuff. I just have no use for it.
I'd just be in the middle of nowhere, you know, just free with two coins.
As a knight? All right, let us know what era you would like to travel back to, folks. It's National Back to the Future Day. Jimmy Pardo is here at 6:35. Lots of fun tonight. Glad you're here. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Paul Ciccone Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We've got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Schwabba, this is Nightlight, celebrating the glory that is Tuesday night here tonight. Great to have you here. We have a great question tonight. It is National Back to the Future Day. Great movie. And it got me thinking, where would you travel to if you could go to a certain time, whether it's in our own country's history or before the United States even existed? Conrad picked the medieval times because he wanted to be tortured in that stretching machine, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, I'd be a knight, and I'd represent the king.
Yeah.
I'd Kingsguard, you know?
You'd be total establishment.
And then on my side gig is being a jester for the king as well.
You have to put your sword down and pull out the microphone. All right, that works. I said that the late 1940s, like when gin joints and jazz clubs started opening up after World War II, that must have been a great time to be here. We survived a terrible time, potential threat. You could argue America's in a pretty bad place right now. Maybe we'll come out of this even better. Who knows? But that's where I would go if I had a choice. I don't think I'd go back to the 1800s or even before the Depression. It was kind of seemed like maybe a cool time in America. But the 50s, there was a lot going on. The interstates were being built. Houses were affordable. 60s, there was all this crazy stuff happening. 70s as well. I don't know.
Couldn't you go to, like, you know, one of the, like, I don't know what the handy stores were back then, but you could go down the house aisle and pick out a house to be built.
I'll take that one. A nice 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. Well, all the houses were small. I think that's when a lot of people started going to California. They had all these, like, 2-bedroom, 1-bath homes, in decent weather, and they were affordable back then.
Yeah. Would you do what Biff did?
Biff, Biff from Back to the Future.
And would you go back in time, knowing your knowledge now of betting on games?
Yeah, I would.
I definitely would too.
I mean, it's kind of cheating, but
I mean,
who are you really hurting? The bookies. But I mean, they're probably still going to make money because enough people are going to not make money. I would do it smart though. I wouldn't try to clean out the single house. Yeah, I would make very. It's like in The Sting. You have to take him and not let him ever know you took him. You can't gloat. You just place those bets and you make a cool million a year.
Wow, what a lucky guess.
Yeah, wow, this guy's on it. So Conrad said the medieval times, a gesture / knight. That's like saying when I grow up, I want to be a cop and a professional football player.
Yeah, why not?
When you're a kid. Rob Momart says, if it was like the Flintstones, I would definitely visit the Stone Age. Sadly, it was not as not accurate as portrayed on TV. Yeah, there was no animation back then either, Rob, which would have affected Rob's art. What do you think Rob would have done?
It would have been cool to do the, you run to make the car move.
That seems like a lot of work to me. Kind of like the push button start myself.
But once you get it going down that hill.
Yeah, with no brakes. It's not too bad. Thank you, Rob. Daniel Wheeler says, I'll ride shotgun with Conrad in the DeLorean and go back to medieval times. I could probably get a job painting portraits of wealthy landowners and save up my coins to buy a goat.
Nice.
Daniel feels it's worth traveling back then to have a goat.
So I'll see him back in medieval times. You know, I'll protect his goat because I'm a knight.
Or you'll make his goat laugh as a
gesture.
Exactly. Okay. Vince Morano, comedian Vince Morano, says, any day where a company like Apple or McDonald's stock became available. Yeah, that's kind of like the Biff thing. You know, it's interesting. I have friends who bought stock in IBM and made a lot of money, and I have friends that did not buy stock. What was it? Xerox. They missed it. They were like going to do it, and they didn't, and they missed out on a fortune. So that could probably be equally as frustrating, I would think. My pal Sean on social media said the 1940s, with any luck, I'd be the pushiest and most successful prophylactic salesman in Queens, New York. Wow, that's a different kind of creepy. Anybody want to buy a rubber? Who's buying from a guy like that?
Going down the street.
Yeah, walking door to door.
Rubbers for sale.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to sell the housewives rubbers. That's they're stuck home with a bunch of kids. Maybe they'd be your best customers. I don't know. Lil Irv on the stream says 1984 with enough money to buy Apple, Oracle, Microsoft, Amazon, something, Facebook, Tesla, and Bitcoin.
NVIDIA,
what's that?
I'm pretty sure it's just a technology brand, I believe.
I don't think
it's in my PC.
Is it? So it's still.
But it I don't lasted. Know what it does.
Okay.
It's there.
The key is what you got to do is buy low and sell high. That's the one thing I've learned. As the numbers guy. Edward from the 414 says the 90s. I was in my 20s. It wouldn't even be fair. Yeah, the 90s were pretty good too. Yeah, the dot-com boom. The economy was great. You had pretty good music. And it was before smartphones. I like that. Like, I had a cell phone in the 90s. It was like a flip phone. Realistically, that's all I needed. Have a few chats when you're in the car. I don't need everything at my fingertips. That's kind of what I like about the 90s and early 2000s. Thank you, Edward. Brett in Brown Deer says, I'll go back to the 60s and go to Woodstock and see how bad the brown acid was. I knew somebody was going to say or make a reference to that. I wouldn't even know what to do. Like if I was, what would you do if you're at a concert and all of a sudden you're around a bunch of nude people?
I don't know.
It's just kind of like, Steve, well, let's save Conrad's dad's text for when we come back. Jimmy Pardo is here, folks, after the news. That'll be fun catching up with Jim. I've got a lot of cool stuff to ask Jimmy. He's got a lot of different interests, and he's always fun, and he'll probably make fun of my shirt again like he did last time. Stick around and find out. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
the Center, WRCE.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thede. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office, with assistance from multiple law enforcement and emergency response agencies, successfully brought an incident in the village of Cobb to a peaceful resolution Saturday evening. At approximately 6:25, deputies were dispatched to Division Street in Cobb for a report of a disturbance involving an individual barricaded inside a vehicle. The situation was determined to involve a firearm, and out of an abundance of caution, additional law enforcement resources were requested. After several hours of communication and negotiation, the subject exited the vehicle and was safely taken into custody without injury. The suspect was identified as Tina Rochelle Scales Toborg, 61, of DeForest. Scales Toborg was taken into custody and transported to the Iowa County Jail on 5 misdemeanor charges of go armed with a firearm while intoxicated, operating while under the influence, third offense, resisting or obstructing an officer, possession of THC, and disorderly conduct. Richland County grant funding is available to support prevention, treatment, and recovery related to the opioid epidemic. Nonprofit organizations, businesses, schools, and local government agencies located in and serving Richland County and its residents are welcome to apply. Funding can be requested by completing an application and submitting it to the attention of the Director of Richland County Health and Human Services by 4:30 Thursday. Applications will be reviewed at the Health and Community Services Committee meeting on November 6th at 9:30.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. At this past weekend's box office, horror was king. Not a huge surprise with Halloween right around the corner, but give some credit to good reviews and a solid sequel as Black Phone 2 landed at number 1 with $26.2 million at the gate. The original Black Phone also had decent reviews and opened with about $23 million at the box office. Coming in second place was last week's winner, Tron Aris, which pulled in about $11 million. Good Fortune came in at number 3 in its first week of release with pretty good reviews for this comedy that brought in just over $6 million. One Battle After Another brought in $4 million in its fourth week in theaters for a total haul of about $62 million domestically. Action comedy True Story Roofman brought in $3.5 million in its second week. According to Variety, despite Black Phone 2's impressive weekend, the results were a bit lackluster. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible, and still breezy, a high in the upper 40s. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, a high in the low 50s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those 7 individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. From Indiana University canceling its school newspaper to Northern Wisconsin being served by high school students, we'll discuss it with Pat Kreitlow and Trigg Olson. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
spark. They don't know I'm alone in the dark. Even though
welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab, and this is Nightlight. Our question of the night is, it's National Back to the Future Day. What era would you like to travel back to? And Clint in the 608 says, go back to the day of my birth and tell my parents to stop the circumcision. I don't know if that's really an era, but every little bit helps. Right, Clint? It's great text. Thank you. All right. I'm very excited, folks, to welcome my first guest of the night. We go back a long way. He's a great friend, hilarious stand-up comedian, and incredibly accomplished podcast host. And host in general, multi-talented, the one and only Mr. Jimmy Pardo. Hey, buddy.
Hello, Pete.
How are you?
Good. You know what? I'm just, I like you, I'm yearning for the time where we all lived in the days of pre-Clint circumcision. I mean, it was a different time, and his parents just did him, they didn't do him right, and we're all feeling it.
It was definitely a more innocent time.
Hey, your words.
I'm with you, buddy. I hope you appreciate, I played that song. I know you're a huge fan of Chicago, as am I, sure. But compared to you, I can't even hold a torch, but I sent Conrad the song Make Me Smile. I said, let's play some Chicago for when Jimmy comes on. But my computer, Jim, yeah, is having an issue with the M's. They're not clicking when I click the M. So my first text to Conrad was, can you pull Ake E. Sile?
Okay.
And luckily, I corrected
it. You know what, he found it.
He did.
Conrad's good.
He is. I corrected it. He'd still be looking for the song that didn't exist if I hadn't caught my stupidity. So.
Fair.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well. I just saw Chicago in concert at the Hollywood Bowl about a month ago. It was my 112th time seeing them.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, that's a lot. You know, I mean, they've been around a long time, and I've been seeing them since 1981. Again, pre-Clint circumcision days. And I remember the band made mention of that. They said, this one goes out to Clint's parents. You know, let's do it right. Saturday in the Park.
And put down right the knife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's 112 times. That's like, that's a summer home, Jim.
I think it is. It's probably more than that because I've spent some dumb money on this band, but I think it'll be the last time, Pete. You know, they're down to one original member. And while the current band is great, it's not the band, you know, if you're just a casual person going, hey, let's go listen to those great hits. You're in good shape. But if you're going there to see the guys that you grew up, you know, posters on the wall, this, that, and the other, a little disappointing.
How do you, I'm sure I've asked you this before, if not on a previous appearance on the show when we were just hanging out, but like, what's your favorite era of Chicago pre-Clint circumcision, of course?
Yeah, you know, I was just talking about this with my buddy, Stuart J. Waddles, and we were discussing, I can't even... Come on, Stuart. I mean, is that?
Did you hear hear his newscast? How did you know that name?
Stuart's, I did. Like, is that the name of a newsman? Is
cool. Oh yeah, Stuart's
great. How do we feel about it, Pete?
Oh, I love Stuart. He's phenomenal.
I'm not saying I don't like Stuart.
I know that.
You understand that? I got no problem with Stuart. I got no truck with Stu.
Well, you think he should change his name?
I don't know. I don't take a newsman seriously who goes by Stuart J. Waddles. He sounds like a cartoon mouse, and I just don't. I don't trust him with my news. I just picture Stuart Little, and this is his buddy Stuart J. Waddles, and the two of them go on hijinks together, Pete. They, Stu Little and Stu Waddles, they just, you know, they're tiny little world in the gutters.
You know, here's what I'm going to say on behalf of my friend Stuart J. Waddles. He's got a face and a voice you can trust, Jim. Name aside, okay. I'm just saying, Conrad, let's, you know what? Cut that from the podcast. Right? I don't want Stuart to hear that. It could send him.
Well, you don't want Stuart to hear the positivity. That's interesting.
Stuart can take it. Stuart's actually taken comedy classes. He's friends with a lot of comedians, believe it or not. So he'll be thrilled.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Based on the read of the news, I don't think he's got it.
That's dude. Come on.
I love Stuart. You know, I love Stu Waddles. You know, I always have. Always going to be Stu Waddles, man. My favorite era of Chicago is it started in the 80s, but it's hard not to ignore those classics. But you know, the first time I saw them was in 1981, so I'm a child of the 80s.
Yeah.
I'll answer your question if Back to the Future Day, if I can go back to any era, it certainly would be the 80s.
Okay.
You know, when it was, you know, it was just for guys our age, it was an easier time. You know, the hardest thing, my biggest worry was, am I going to open the record store on time? You know what I mean? That was the biggest worry I had.
You know what my biggest worry was? In high school, there was this thing going around where you thought it was a real funny joke if you signed your friend up for the draft or to enlist in the... So you'd fill out the card, and then you'd have military recruiters calling you. And guys in my high school thought that was hilarious, Jim.
Wow.
So that was kind of a worry.
Did you go to school in 1967? Are you older than I think you are?
No, we still had... That was still a thing. The draft happened up until... Because that was the Cold War, too.
Yeah, I know.
So that was a little bit of a concern, but by and large, I'm totally with you on the 80s. It was a fun time.
I do remember talking to somebody, I believe it was a broadcaster, Ed Till, when it looked like we might go into it. Might have a draft in the late 80s. And I think, you know, you and I and probably others were probably like, we were just too old to not be drafted, but just young enough to like, well, they might need us.
Right.
And it was I remember it being a little scary, so I couldn't even imagine what it was like for our parents for Vietnam.
60s, no kidding. My dad was dishonorably. He was honorably discharged because he had a back issue. Or, you know, I think I would have made it, but my four siblings might not have been born if he had to go to Vietnam. It's like, I can't even imagine what that's like.
Now, back issues of what magazine? What did he have back issues of that got him kicked out of the service?
True Detective or Spy Detective or whatever that was called. Cracked.
I don't know that.
The occasional crack.
In Mad Magazine, he was making those, making boobs out of mountains to entertain himself.
We're going to let this guy go. You, Jim, last time you were here, I still laugh about this. It was very cold. I was sick. I grabbed a very warm shirt. It was not the most attractive shirt in the world. And you made very funny comments. You said, is that from the Tim Walz collection? My daughter, Kate, still laughs at that. But what was so funny was just the way you looked at my shirt when you came on. And I was like, literally, like, here it comes. I know it's coming.
And the windup, the pitch.
So beautiful.
Now, Pete, if I mentioned Tim Walz, was that pre-election? Is that
no, that
the last
was
time
post. That was, you were here in January. I can't believe it's been that long. But yeah, that was post-election.
Okay, so it was post-election, but pre-
inauguration, maybe? That could be.
Yeah, all right. Well,
he's making some funny videos, whether or not you agree with his president.
You know what? I like the idea that he's doing it himself. That he, that fumbling, his thumbs wouldn't know what to hit. We had a nice rally on Saturday, Pete. We went, Danielle and I, my beautiful wife Danielle and I, we went to the rally in Beverly Hills, California.
Oh, nice.
And it was celebrity free. I expected to see a few celebrities out there, but I didn't see any celebrities. It being Beverly Hills, I thought we'd see some big names with placards out there, but a little disappointing.
You know what was fun to go to in Beverly Hills is when we would all get together and watch the Oscars, and a lot of us were very new out there, and then we would just walk down the street and see everybody going into the after parties. Were you part of that? When I think
I was part of that, and then here's where it turned. My wife, who grew up out here and whose father was, you know, a star of Star Trek, she was at one of those parties once, and we all, you know, this is back our drinking days too.
Sure.
So we would go to the Oscar party. We'd watch the Oscars. Again, we're new to Los Angeles. We're young actors. We think, you know, this is 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we could walk less than a mile to watch them go into the Vanity Fair party. And it was exciting. Also, we're drunk. Very important to know that we're drunk. Right. And my wife was like, I grew up here. I don't understand why this is fun. She's like, and it kind of like, it was like, yeah, you know what? We're professionals. Why are we doing this? Why am I going down there to yell hello to Roger Ebert? Why am I?
Oh, wow.
I remember one time I was really drunk and I was on the, talking to somebody back in Chicago on a payphone. That happened to be along the limo route, and Roger Ebert got out of the limo and then walked to the Vanity Fair party, and I yelled to him, "Hey, Roger, it's me, Jimmy. I'm on the phone with Chicago," as if he's going to go, "Oh, you're talking to somebody in the city? Let me come over." Like, I don't know what I expected.
Right. Well, hey, look, we all have our moments, but I will say to you, within a week of the death of Ace Frehley.
Yes.
You and I had, and I've told this a story before on the show when Jimmy's been here, I apologize, but you saw Paul Stanley, and I thought you were going to lose your mind. We were at a gas station in the Cahuenga Pass, and you're like, oh my God, it's Paul Stanley. And you were almost hyperventilating, and you're like, where's my Kiss CD? I always have a Kiss CD. But the second he came over, I've never seen anyone more cool. You were like, love the new album. And he's like, do you? Thanks. Yeah, when we went into the studio at first, he starts talking like, you guys had this like 5-minute conversation. It was beautiful.
It was pretty cool. Like, he talked as if he wasn't Paul Stanley of Kiss. He talked about it like a guy who's like, You like our band? Oh, that's great that you like our band. Let's talk a little bit about it. Like,
right.
Not the fact that, like, again, I had his posters all over my wall as a kid, and that's kind of how I feel about Ace Frehley. It's, you know, Ace was on my podcast about 7 years ago, and
nice.
So to have a legend like that on was really, really cool. And then, you know, and he was a very nice guy, a real nice guy. And, you know, I'm always weirded out when people get a little overly emotional when a celebrity dies, because it's like, come on, man.
Right.
You don't know that person. And I don't know Ace Frehley, but I will say he's been part of my life since 1976, you know?
For sure.
And so it did put me in a funk for a day when you know, with Ace's passing. And again, he was a nice man when he came on the podcast.
Somehow Destroyer, or it was either Destroyer or Machine Head, was my first album. And the other one was the second one. Let me say Machine Head
by Deep Purple.
Yeah. Deep Purple. And my guest is Jimmy Pardo. He is the host of the Never Not Funny podcast. Check it out if you haven't. It's very funny. He is also he's a hilarious stand-up comic. And he's joining me here on Nightlight. Jim, I want to say, I think that was Paul Stanley. He had the makeup on. And
you know what? It could have just been a guy going to a kid's party.
He asked us to go to the bathroom with him. I thought that was a little strange. But
that's how rock and rollers do it. That's how Hollywood rolls. It's a different world out here, Pete.
Hey, so let me ask you something, all right? You're this huge stand-up comic, and I don't know if you were asked to do this or what your thoughts were, but when the comedians went to the comedy festival in the Middle East, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Is it Ridya?
Riyadh.
Riyadh, okay. I was looking at it phonetically. What did you think about that? Because it was controversial, and I kind of thought at first, well, they're going to the Middle East as ambassadors to make people laugh, and then I found out who was behind it, and I was like, oh, that's sick, so I mean, they're all kind of defending themselves and getting defensive. It was, you know, it was Bill Burr and Chappelle and some of those guys. What's your take on that? You're closer to this.
I don't know if I could have said no fast enough had they offered it to me. I don't care about, even the low money that was offered was like $350,000, which, that's $100,000 is like, $10,000 is good money. Like,
sure.
So it's life changing money, but you know, I felt the same way about the Live Tour, the golfers who are taking that money. And it's like, they're like, I'm making more money than ever. And I play golf less. It's like, but you're taking money from people that use a bone saw.
I mean, blood money. Yeah.
How do you feel good about that? So I felt that way about the Live Tour. And then when I saw this thing happening, and then you saw like the grid of comedians that went, and it's like, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. Like, they're all kind of these guys and a few of the women who that just seems to be their brand, where like they are okay with that. And I was sickened by it. And, you know, the fact that Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle and Aziz and there's a fourth one who Louis C.K. You know, they're digging their heels in.
Right.
Whereas someone like Jessica Curson immediately went, I made a mistake. I should not have done this. I didn't realize it was. You know, but for Bill Burr to say the Royals were happy, it's dude, right. Come on, man.
And they're I don't get it.
I wouldn't have gone. I'm sorry, Pete.
They don't need the money either. They're the comics that don't need the money.
That's like, the other thing. They're the comics.
Let's pick up here. We got to do a really short break. Jimmy Pardo is here, folks, host of the Never Not Funny podcast. We're coming back after a very short break. Don't go anywhere. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. 33. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Few things can match a rockin' fifth quarter after a big Badger victory, but a pregame tailgate bash at Camp Randall with a grill full of Usinger sausage is awfully close. Hi, this is Robin Yao. A parking lot filled with the delicious aroma of Usinger sausage cooking up on a crisp, cool fall day is a Wisconsin football tradition.
Mark,
nearly 150 years of making Wisconsin's finest sausage guarantees you've got the best. The elf on the label means quality on your table.
Whether you're cheering for the Badgers or caring for your land, we know you're all in all season long. And Case IH compact and utility tractors are all in too. Mowing, digging, hauling, our equipment designed to meet the needs of America's farm fields makes caring for your home field easier. Your Case IH dealer can show you how our equipment can make this season a winning one. Case IH, built by farmers.
Together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apology. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Starr, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Welcome back. This is great. I have a new text, or a text from Tyler from the 608. He says, I want to see the Big Bang. I bet that was a very cool story. Here is another text that's geared toward my guest, Jim Pardo. Joe from La Crosse, 608, says, I finished watching The Godfather of Green Bay last night, and I have to say that I absolutely loved it. You two guys were great. Well, thank you, Joe. And Jimmy, with every once in a while, I hear Higgins, and it cracks me up.
Well, it's one of those. I was just talking about that role the other day. You know, when you work on a picture like that, you're on a 7 or 10 type of talent that I was on, you really immerse yourself in the role. And actually, what I was talking about was the fact that I can't believe the confidence that I had that you talked me into showing my rear, my new behind, in addition to opening up the door in nothing but bikini briefs and a robe, and I did it. And I don't know. To this day, I don't know how. I would say no if you asked me today.
Yeah, it was peer pressure, probably. No, you didn't show your butt, though.
I showed my butt because you were asleep in the bathtub and you looked over and I'm digging a whiz. And
then cut it.
What's that?
We didn't use that.
You still shot it. I still had to do it.
Listen, if you want it for your reel, just ask Jim. It's fine. We'll send it to you.
What if that was the only thing on my reel? Please hire me. It's just my butt from behind while I'm going to the bathroom.
Jimmy's ass is in demand. That was,
by the way,
you were very fun.
Well, Pete, I appreciate it. You know, it was a lot of fun. And, there was Oktoberfest, what, 2004?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's weird. Because of the show, I've not had to, but it just comes up. And I haven't talked about the movie in so long, and now we're doing a screening in Madison on the 4th, and it's kind of come back into my life, this movie. I wasn't sick of it. I'm proud of it. I like it, but I'm still sort of like, it's like if you had to do the same jokes over and over in your
I don't know if that's a good example. I think that's I improvise every night. It's a different show every night. And, but Pete, you got some new clips from that movie? That's unfair. I'm doing inside jokes on a radio show. I apologize.
I keep clips. No, listen, here's a funny story, okay? Steve Ian, this is so... You're friends with Steve. Very good.
I am.
All right. Dave Dugan on Facebook today posted just a picture of Steve Ian on stage. No caption, no nothing. And my first thought... What would your first thought be if you saw it?
I would think... Probably the same thought you had. Maybe you have to apologize.
Dear God, what happened? Oh, no, not Steve. That was my...
100%.
So I go to Steve's Facebook page. There's nothing posted. It says no
attention
posts
stations on
no,
the network.
And look and
our broadcast will begin
Steve.
In 10 minutes from my mark.
Pictures, yeah.
In 5,
so, way,
4,
how
funny 3,
is that show?
2, 1.
You do get a Steve
mark.
Oh, my God.
That
was
your 10-minute time check stations.
Show.
What a show.
Steve keeps saying, I'd love to do your show. Let me do it when I'm coming to Wisconsin to do stand-up, and I can talk about it. And apparently he's never going to do it. Wisconsin is booking Steve because I've heard people.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Pete. I'm sorry. I think Steve. I am. He's not. He's not done my podcast either. And I would love to have him on any time. Yeah. I don't. I'm on record. He's the funniest guy I've ever met.
Very funny guy. And I don't care if he doesn't want to do it. Like I've got guys that say, "Look, I don't really do that stuff." I'm fine with that. I don't care. Great. But I
really.
Like
why don't you accept that when I say? This is my bare butt all over again. I'm bullying into this.
I blackmail you with the butt footage.
I love it.
Yeah, I was laughing because Steve, one of my best memories of Steve, you and I and Steve were miniature golfing for money in St. Louis. And it was literally the hole you always make fun of, the windmill hole when your stand-ups are doing a joke. Yeah, I have trouble with the windmill hole. This was a windmill hole, and Steve was trying to time it to hit the ball. And right when he was on his backswing, you and I both knew he timed it horribly and was going to hit the blade, and we looked at each other. I've never laughed so hard at somebody's anger. It was beautiful.
Yes. By the way, I've lost, back in those days, I was making, and you know this, you make, when you're a beginning comic, you make $250 a week, maybe. Yeah. And I remember one week, Steve and I were working in Toledo, I believe it was Toledo, and I lost all that money to him on miniature golf course. I kept, because he's a better golfer than me, and even on the miniature golf course, he's putting better than me, and I keep double or nothing, and all of a sudden, I'm writing him a check for $250 because we just play miniature golf. I'm an idiot.
Oh my gosh. He took it too, huh? He didn't let you off the hook.
You know what? You gamble, you touch the oven, you're going to get burned, Pete. Would I pick up the money from a friend? Probably.
I think we just found a chink in the eye at armor here, is what I'm saying. Like, he's a good guy.
He's a hustler. You know what he is? He's a hustler. No, what's the word? You're a hustler.
You're a hustler. That works.
Yeah, I'm not a good pool player, and then you are.
That's sure.
Again, really, the Cardi is a great guy.
I want to ask you this, and I'm hoping I can keep you through the news, Jim, for another second.
Sure.
You have a son who is very interested in the arts, a very talented kid. I've seen some of the things he's done that you and your wife post online. This is great stuff. And he seems to be following you into this business as kind of my kids are right now. How do you feel about that?
You know how I feel about it? I wish he went into anything else. At the same time, Pete, he's opened for me about, he's done about 10 to 12 stand-up sets. He's opened for me about 10 times. And, he's good.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. It's like, as a comedian, I don't say this as a dad, I say as a comedian, when you see somebody that's got it, you go, that guy's got it. Or you see somebody that's like, my son's doing comedy, he's horrible. My son has it. And so how do I feel about it? I wish he was doing anything else, but how do I not encourage him to continue being hysterical?
That's exactly how I feel. I just wish my kids were talented. That's the difference. And that's
good heavens.
But I'm still nervous. Like, they're both sharp kids. I'm still like, just go be an electrician or do something. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to, like, worry about this.
Here's the other thing. You and I both know what happens on the road. Our parents didn't. You know what I mean? And so, like, if all of a sudden Oliver's opening up for somebody in Cincinnati, it's like, I know what happens after shows and so on. It's like, oh, no. But
you get together with the other comics, you read a little scripture, it's a good time. It's
okay, you know what?
All right, we're coming right back for Act 2. Enjoy your intermission, folks. Jimmy Pardo's coming back, too, and we will read some of your text our question of the night. What era would you travel back to with National Back to the Future Day? We are coming right back. It's a Tuesday at Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwab, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump is demanding $230 million from his own Justice Department for past cases against him, including the investigation into the Russian interference in the 2016 election and the classified documents case.
We have numerous cases having to
attention
do with the
stations
fraud of the
on the network.
In the
our broadcast will begin in 5 minutes from my mark. In five, four, three,
it would be up to Trump's handpicked DOJ officials to defend against the president's
claims. That was your 5 minute time
check. Late today, federal
stations.
Agents, including ICE, launching a crackdown in New York City's Chinatown. People detained, many people. This just hours after Homeland Security officials and a suspected undocumented immigrant were both shot and wounded in a targeted traffic stop in Los Angeles. Police say a man pardoned for his actions on January 6th is under arrest for allegedly threatening to kill House Democratic Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. New York State Police say 34-year-old Christopher Moynihan's charged with making a terroristic threat. This is ABC